Sunday night, women's shiurim, Parah Avodas Elokim, and we're actually still at the end of Perek Daled, and he's going through, actually, the Chavetz Chavodas is going through 10 levels of Ovdei Hashem based on, and I don't think I spoke this out before, and I'm sorry about that. It's a perspective. These 10 levels of Ovdei Hashem is based on Ha'ora Toronis, the obedience school level. In Perek Hay, the next Perek in Mitzvah Hashem, he's going to talk about someone going beyond everything we're learning about. These 10 levels of Ovdei Hashem, which is a little inaccurate, imprecise, because the first level is certainly not an Ovid Hashem in any sense of the word. But okay, we say Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even though we call it the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we call it, there's only 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay. So we say the 10 levels of Ovdei Hashem. This is all in Toronis mode. In Perek Hay, he takes us into Sichlis mode, our reason, our understanding, our Seichel. And there he really flies. So we'll start with, I want to go back to the 9th level. The first level was a total kofar, and says the Torah is man-made, it was made by man, for man, and this person essentially is kofar bakol, kofar in everything. The second level, which doesn't seem to us to be much higher, but he, as well as very analytical, very precise, is that a person believes that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, and he gave over to Moshe. This is like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, really, in a sense, that says there's a Hashem in the world, but he gave over the running of the world to Malachim and to other powers. So the Torah is a manifestation of Moshe Rabbeinu's intelligence. Hashem gave him the leadership of the Jewish people, and he was the legislator, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, and the executive branch, and he whipped them into shape. The third level is already Hashem gave us the Torah. But the person, Olam Haba, is not part of this deal. Either there is no Olam Haba, or he doesn't. Olam Haba is not part of the picture. There's the Torah. It's a great way, great for society. It makes really for a perfect society, a friendly society, a functioning society. Help the poor, help the weak. You know, it's a great system. It's a great system for Olam Hazeh, and that's basically the box the person lives in. So he's living with the Torah, and he's Ovin Hashem, because it's a great way to live. It's a great way to have a society. It's probably the most, it's almost what Winston Churchill said about democracy, right? It's all other systems, all systems are no good, but this is the best system that there is. So I'm not quoting it correctly, but that's essentially what he said. Number four, the fourth level of the Ovid Hashem, is that in terms of belief, and he understands that there's Torah, and there's Hashem, and there's Olam Hazeh, and there's Olam Haba, but now we're already getting into Chovos Halvavos. You see, he believes everything. But he does it for kavod, he does it essentially to fool people. He doesn't in chitzonius. He's not really being an Ovid Hashem. For whatever his reason is, he's not holding there. He does it because that's what everyone else is doing. And he's just going along. Maybe he'll do it to fool people so that he can get into a good school. His kids can get into a good school. His kids can do a good shidduch. He goes along with it, but his heart is not in it. Now, this is a little scary, because if we don't learn Chovos Halvavos and we don't think about what we do, so if anybody would stop us and ask us, we would be appalled at the thought that we would be in this category. But and I'm including myself too, much of what we do is in this category, where we just, you know, we go through the day, and we're pretty much set up, you know, and, you know, maybe, you wake up in the morning, and, you know, like I say, the mezuzah falls off the door, and you know, you're in no rush to replace it, you know, but you know, your neighbor's going to see that you're not going to have a mezuzah, so we're embarrassed. I'm embarrassed not to come to shul one morning. Everybody's going to ask me where I was, you know. So we go through our day. So there's a little of us in number four, and we have to guard against that. Right? It's hitting closer to home, these levels of Ovdei Hashem. How much of what we do is by rote? Okay. Number five is you're actually doing the Torah, and you're doing it, and you're into it, and you mean to serve Hashem, but you mean to serve yourself also. It's good. It gives you social standing. It's not just chitzonius. You see, on this level, he's already talking about someone who means to do the will of Hashem, but he calls it shituf hanistar. Shituf, there's a partnership here. It's Hashem and you. You're doing it for kavod. You're doing it again for social standing, for everything. It's sort of like number four, but it's shituf. It's you're serving Hashem and yourself. And now we're already saying, boy, you know, I wish I was on this madriga. We say, I just described myself as being somewhat on four when I do certain things. I say, boy, I wish I was on five. Like, five doesn't sound so great, but it's a heck of a lot better than number four. Right? So that's number five. Number six is already, you're serving Hashem. And you're not, like, you're serving Hashem. And Olam Haba just never enters your mind. It's just not part of your, it's not on the screen. It's not on the screen. Maybe because you don't understand it. Maybe because you don't have a desire. It's not something we desire. Like I didn't say it last night with the men. Please forgive me if... a man is supposed to have a desire to know Torah. He's supposed to have this desire. It's a woman doesn't have to know Torah. Nowadays it's almost, okay, you have to know Yahadus, you have to know about Hashem, you have to know a heck of a lot of things that we're learning about, because it used to be, it wasn't intellectual, but it was instinctive, and they got it with their mother's milk, so to speak, in the home, and we don't have that anymore, so we have to learn it. So women have a heck of a lot of learning to do, even if we cut out Mishnayos and Gemara. and even, you know, they still have a lot of learning to do about Hashem, about Chovos HaLevavos, about life, and about life's goals, and about our relationship with Hashem, and what Hashem wants from us. Right? And then there's the dinim that you have to know, because you have to know what to do. Right? That's practical halacha. But a man, the point I wanted to make is that desire. A man's charged, really. I didn't talk about this last night because I wanted to, though. A man's supposed to have a desire, a tshuka, to know Torah. So we're all supposed to have a tshuka for Olam Haba. And this is, again, like kind of scary, because we believe in it, but Chavos HaLevavos wants us to have that as a goal, is maybe, yeah, as a goal. I mean, it's there, and if we really, really believed in it, it would be like, wow, I can't wait. Like, you know that there's eternal bliss. I'm sorry for how that sounds, but that's what it is. You have such a tshuka for it, and you're not going to do anything that's going to keep you from that goal, and you know, not if you can help it. So number six is an Oved Hashem that it's not on the screen. Number seven is the Oved Hashem, this is like fully. But he or she doesn't realize that the real Avodas Hashem is Hashem. It's not about us, it's about Hashem. and we should really be spending our whole day in Lahodos Ulahalel Lishabeyach, and then to praise Hashem, and to right, this is about, see, it's Madrega 7 that's told Altiu Kavodim Hamashamshinus Arav Almanas Lakabal Pras, Elahavu Kavodim Hamashamshinus Arav Shal Almanas Lakabal Pras. It's a way of saying thank you to Hashem, which is, remember, the Hagdoma to Sharavodus Elokim, that's essentially what all the mitzvahs are, and we should look at it that way, and we're just like thankful that we have a way to say thank you to Hashem, and it's the vector is to Hashem, not to us. That's what number 7 is missing. You know, number 7 has all, can be over in Hashem and not have any of the flaws of the first 6. Right? He desires Olam Haba, but number 7 is missing. The flaw of number 7 is that he's doing it on Manas L'Kabal Pras. He doesn't, the vector is going the wrong way. Number 8 is interesting, because you're already dealing with someone who has, like, whoa! I've never read really someone behind that, beyond our comprehension, beyond my, you know, someone who, like, this guy's a, what's he missing? So number 8 has everything of before, has fixed up all the flaws. The reason he's not the highest Madrega is that he's Oved Hashem Meyira. In other words, his flaw is that like your student in school, and like ultimately, you know, you're perfect and you're good and you understand everything and you know you have to behave and you have to, but ultimately what's in the back of your mind is you don't want to get thrown out of school. Like if that fear wouldn't be there, who knows how, you know, like Lord of the Flies, we all read it. It's like such an important book. It says that, you know something? If you take away a certain fear, we don't really know what lurks. It's scary. What lurks behind? What lurks, you know, we think we're civilized and we're like, it's a very scary book. Like, you know, if we took away Yira, if you take away Yira, that's the flaw of we're a person in a very high Madrega. But if you take away Yira, you don't know. Now Yira's great, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Halavai, we should be afraid of Hashem like we're afraid of our neighbor. And because we do things and we don't want our neighbor to see us doing it, and we apparently don't care if Hashem sees us doing it. So that's like we're talking about a high Madrega that we don't want to get Hashem upset or angry. But it's not, that's the flaw of number 8. Number 8's doing everything in Olam Haba, and he's doing it, the vector's going this way, but like in the background, this is what the Chavis HaLvav says, he's making 10 categories. In the background is a Yira, which is good. Halavai should be number 8. Right, this is like I said, this is like saying, you know, v'rachatzu yedehem v'raglehem v'lo yomusu. Tell Aaron HaKoyen, tal yavo b'cholesa l'kodesh, you know, because achrimos, right, achrimos shnei b'nei Aaron, b'kar v'som l'fnei Hashem v'yomusu. So, like, it's such a non sequitur, right? Hashem tells Aaron HaKoyen about the Beis HaMikdash, about Kachi Kachim, about Yom Kippur, and there's a total non sequitur there, apparently, you know. Achrimosh Nei B'nei Aaron. What does that have to do with anything? So Rashi says, no, it's because even Aaron HaKoyen, you know, so you tell him, you know, look what just happened. You don't want that to happen to you. You know, it keeps us honest. Yira keeps us honest. But it's not the highest Madrega. That's number 8, is that there's a Yira lurking. And if you took away that Yira, you don't know what the person would do. You know, I mean, so to speak. Yeah. I'm Lord of the Flies, really. Wow, like, look what happens when you take away Yira. Okay, that's number 8. Number 9 is amazing. Number 9 is like, by the way, if you think that we were left in the dust in number 4, no, I want to finish the perek today. He's going to say such an inspirational, optimistic thing. Hang in there, really. Like, don't think we're talking about things that are like beyond us. He's going to say something very important at the end of the perek that's going to bring it all together, and it's like you want to like kiss the sefer. You want to kiss the Chavis HaLavos. The 9th level is someone anoshim haminu b'Torah. I love when he does this. He does it in Shaar Bitachon. It's a good lesson in being a teacher, being a pedagogue. He goes over everything. Haminu b'Torah uvegemul uveonesh aleha b'shnei olamim, right, olam hazeh, olam haba. The kibnu b'avodos Hashem lishmo, the vector is going the right way. They're doing it for Hashem's sake. Ulamasha yo'uslo, because it's Hashem is worthy of lahodos lahale l'shabeach l'foy l'romeim l'hader l'vorech l'yale l'kales. So what? Why is it only number 9? Why isn't it number 10? What's missing? Ela shelo nishmaru mimafsidei ho'avodos. They let a flaw creep in. Now I want to explain. You know, we learn Chumash, right? We know Chumash. Everybody here? Yeah, no? You have time to learn Chumash? You should say Korach. And you know, oh, Korach, man, he's such a bad guy. But it's very scary, because Korach was, and he got jealous. He got jealous. He felt a grudge against Moshe Rabbeinu, and you know, whether we admit it or not, this can ruin a life. Whether it's jealousy or wanting kavod, it's like a little speck. I mean, I know people like that. I do. I know people who are wonderful people, talented people, intelligent people, spiritual people, and whether it's the Korach, how come he's getting shlishi and I'm not getting shlishi? I should be the Rosh Hashiva. I mean, it's seer that I hope you don't read newspapers. This one became the Rosh Hashiva, that one became the Rosh Hashiva. And I'm learning now in the Nachshir, you have a Nachshir by the men on Shabbos morning. We're learning about Yerovam ben Nevat. I mean, Achia Hashiloni, who's in the Shalshelas of the Masorah, he goes over to Yerovam ben Nevat and he says, You're the guy. And he gives Musa to Shlomo HaMelech, Yerovam ben Nevat. Unafraid, he gives Musa, and the Navi tells him, you're the Melech. You're gonna, you know, unfortunately, Malchus Yisrael, the Malchus Beis David, is going to be punished for its sins, and you are a worthy, you're gonna be the king, you're gonna be a king. You're gonna have 10 shvatim, they're gonna have 2 shvatim. And he's described, Achi Ashilofni, and he's charged by Achi Ashilofni, and then he becomes king. And then all of a sudden, Yerovam ben Nevat, Rasha, Merusha, Chayteyu Machti, he becomes the symbol of like the lowest of the low. Chayteyu Machti, in l'chelek olam abba. So, you know, it sounds trite. And the Pasuk says how it all happened. The Pasuk says that he was afraid of losing it all. This is a character flaw. This is a character flaw. You want to say, you want to take him, like shake him and say, fool that you are, like fool, you know, the Navi handed you malucha, just be yourself. And like Korach, it just, a character flaw crept in, and the character flaw was the fear that listen to this is Beferish in the Pasuk. B'nai Yisrael would go to the Beis HaMikdash, they would be Ola Regel, and they would see that Rechavam, Shlomo HaMelech's son, can sit down in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, because Malchei Beis David are allowed to sit in the Azara, and he'd be standing, and like he's picturing the scene, and Klal Yisrael, he's seeing people like laugh at him, and saying, this guy thinks he's king. He's no king. If he was king, he could sit down. Rechavim can sit down. He's not really a king, and he can't stand that. And what does he do? He makes Eglei Zohar, and he says, okay, you don't have to go to Beis Mikdash anymore. We're making our own Beis Hamikdash. The Egel, and I'm from Shevet Yosef, and Shevet Yosef is an Egel, right? You know, Bechor Shoro Hodarlo, and Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar made an Egel, and you see, it's a good thing, an Egel. It was bad, but now it's good. And he does this whole thing, and he introduces, and then it becomes Avodah Zarah, and it's all a character flaw. It's all a character flaw, and this is what Chaim Soloveitchik says: you could be. It's mussar, but it's. We see it if we look around at people, if we keep our eyes open, and a person can be on this highest madrega of avodas Hashem, and not perfect his or her character, so they're open to jealousy, to bearing a grudge, and their whole lives. They can ruin their whole lives. I mean, I can tell you people that I don't mean to talk as if I'm a tzaddik, but I know people that just ruin their life. They are so talented, and so talented in spirituality, but they just couldn't live with being second fiddle, and they couldn't live with being passed over for a position. Or the fear, like Yerovam, the fear that they would lose it, so they have to be pushy, and they have to prove themselves, and they have to. It's sad. Listen to what he says. Anoshim, I mean, this is number 9. You're on the highest level, and you have this flaw. And we know from Korach and from Yerovam, it's not fairy tales. It's not like, it's not fairy tales. Korach was a very big person, and Yerovam ben Nevat was a very big person, and Achitophel was a very big person, and Doeg HaAdomi was a very big person. These were very big people, and they were either jealous or kavod or something. They couldn't. This one still was pining that Shaul is going to be king, or Beis Shaul from Binyamin. And this Korach was passed over, and this, the mussar here is how essential it is to work on one's character. Do I ever recommend the Sefer Cholos Adam Bolomo? They just came out with a new volume Ches. It's called Kavod. What? There's a series of workshop books, I call it. The author is anonymous. It's called Cholbas Odom Ba'olamo. So just this morning I came to shul and volume 8 was out. And he talks about kavod from both angles: the good angle, kavod abrios, kavod atzmo, dignity, and the bad kavod, where you feel something's coming to you. I had a certain insight that I'm not sure if it's right yet, and I'll share it with you as the saying goes. I don't know if I'm right. I it's for years already, decades, that I'm troubled by. Like, if you know a little psychology and if you know a little about people, so it seems like 90% of Balei Gaiva are really very insecure people. So it seems almost like they're not really Balei Gaiva. But it's such like Yerovam ben Nevat, right? He was like afraid. He was afraid. So you say he was insecure, and the Navi told him he's going to be king. Like, he just had to relax. But he was insecure in his malucha. So I'm troubled by, like, for years. Like, so what? Like, what is it? So what is it really? is like, is it so rare to be a Balgaiva? Like the Torah says, don't be a Balgaiva. You say, oh, so many people Balgaiva. Yeah, but not really Balgaiva. They're really insecure. So I was thinking about your Yerovim ben Avot, like, and then you say, so what do you mechuyev to do? So you have to build up your self-esteem. So you shouldn't be a Balgaiva. Like, it seems counterintuitive. Right? So I had a certain, just last week, when you were in the Nachshi with your Rovin Ben Avot, because it's so startling, the Pasuk says it so openly. I was thinking, it's still germinating, I'll share it with you. That's not an excuse. In other words, the person who does things because they're, let's say Yerovim ben Avot, he was insecure in his melucha, right? Or the Baligaiva we know that we say, well, really they're insecure people. But for them to act, let's say Yerovim ben Avot, that means even to be insecure and to act the way he did because of his insecurity really meant that he felt that Melucha was coming to him, that he deserved it. In other words, you say this guy's really insecure, right? He thinks, but the insecure person that acts a certain way is saying really that something's coming to him. He deserves kavod. He deserves kavod, and he's insecure about getting it. He's insecure. But that means he's really making a statement that he deserves it, that it's coming to him. So maybe that's really, it is gaiva. In other words, he's really insecure. But really, it's just a machshava. The at the yasod of insecurity is a feeling that something's coming to me, which is really what gaiva is all about, that I deserve something because of what I am. If this insecure person wouldn't feel that if Yerovim wouldn't have felt that the melucha is coming to him, that he deserves melucha, then he would have nothing to be insecure about. So it really is gaiva, perhaps. This isn't like a, it really is gaiva at the bottom of the yesod of gaiva is gaiva. Even those 90% of the people who are really insecure. But what are you insecure about? Just go about your life. And what do you? I don't know if it's right, because maybe insecurity is they're afraid of it. Maybe some people obviously are insecure because you say they have low self-esteem. They don't think they can do it, so they're insecure about their ability to do things. So maybe it's just maybe it's not such a good answer. I don't know. I'm a little thinking about it. But let's get back to the Chavis Halbaldus. You can be on the highest level, virtually the highest level of Avoda, and have a character flaw that'll bring you down. That's what he says. And if you want examples that we learn about, I'm telling you, it's Korach, Yerovim ben Avot, Doeg Ladomi, and Achitofel. If you need big, big people, And if you look around in life, it's sort of not nice, but there are talented people out there that could have been so great, and then they just end up chasing. It's usually kavod, it's gaiva and kavod usually. Sometimes taiva brings them down, sometimes, but usually it's kavod and gaiva. So he says, "Anoshim haminu b'tovah gemul v'onesh lo b'shnei olamim v'kibnu l'avodas Hashem." You're talking about someone that does things Hashem Shemayim, but they're not careful. They don't work on these things. They don't work. It's like saying the guy's a tzaddik and he keeps the whole Shulchan Aruch and he learns a whole day and he never Chavir Lovus doesn't say these words, but this is what he's saying, and he never worked on his character. Say he never learned Musa. I don't know. In the olden days, they didn't have to learn Musa. They got it through Torah. So you say, they learned Torah Lishma. I'm not getting into the whole Musa movement controversy. they weren't careful about things that mafsidei avodos. V'nichnas ahefzer aleihem. Listen to this pasuk he brings out, and it crept in. Because v'lo hikiru mehayim. They don't know what hit them. They don't know what hit them. All of a sudden, they're like. All of a sudden, they're in a different world. They're doing averus, and they're, who knows what they're doing, and they don't understand what hit them. They look back. How did I get from there today? And they don't have the introspection, or the ability. They don't have the introspection, or they don't have a rebbe, or they don't have a good chaver, or they don't even see. They because you can't. You know, Korach didn't look in the mirror. You know these things are. You know, Freud was good. I mean, Freud had a good point. It just, you know, so Hashem sent down this Mayon of Chachma at the same time. It's uncanny. The Goyish world got Freud, and we got Rabbi Sol Salanta. And it's the same thing. He said, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that you better become aware of, because it could ruin your life. Can ruin your life. You can do things and you're really trying to compensate, say it in a Freudian way, you're trying to compensate for that, and you're trying to compensate for this, and you want your parents to hold of you, or you want, you know, you're rebelling, whatever it is. And Rabbi Sol Salanta essentially says the same thing, be a sod, that there's stuff going on inside of you, and the only way to get it out is by learning Musa. Not to sit on a couch and talk to a guy and pay him $175 for 45 minutes. But to learn Musar and be introspective. It's the same thing, though. It's the same thing. It's uncanny that they came together. Uncanny. This is Shara Bechina stuff, which he says studying history is part of Shara Bechina. That this chokhmah came down to the world at the same time. Domel Mashen Emar, and this is a beautiful pasuk in Koheles. Zavuve Moves. It's like a little fly dies in a whole, you know, in a whole jug of sweet smelling oil. And before you know it, 3 days later, it stinks in the house. And you can't understand how it happened. It doesn't make any sense. And Shlomo HaMelech says, Zvuve Moves, Yavish, Yabia Shemen Rokeach. Yokor Mechochma, it can end up being heavier. Mikovod Sichlus Ma'at, a little foolishness. It's foolishness. All these character flaws are foolish. The irony of all these character flaws is, of course, that if they would have. They would have had the cover. They would have had everything. Yerovim ben Nevat would have had the Malchus. V'yomar v'chote echad ya'abe tova harbe. He's like so beautiful what he's doing with these psukim. He's saying, this is it. These little character flaws can end up consuming you, and you don't know what hit you. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. V'yomar k'tzasa chasidim l'talmidov ilu lohoye lechem avonos. If you had no averus, I would be afraid for you. I would fear for you from something that's more powerful than open averus. Omer lo mahu gadol min avonos. Omer hagavus lahagayva. Kmo shomer hakosuv tovos Hashem kol gvalev. Because of algaiva is zvuvei moves. Yavish yabi Hashem en rokeach. You know, a person does an avera, I don't know, what is he talking about? I guess he's only like, yeah, he has a taiva, so he'll do an avera. It doesn't have to consume him. Maybe it doesn't consume him. A person does an avera, I don't want to condone any averas. I'm talking about the chacham in the chavis halavus' world. A person talks lashon hara. He has a tremendous taiva to talk lashon hara. He talks lashon hara. It doesn't have. I'm giving an example of what he might be talking about. It doesn't have to ruin his whole spiritual life, please, right? But a person, that's what he's saying, but if you have a gaiva in you, there's no telling what's going to happen. Look what happened with Korach. Look what happened with Yerovam ben Nevat. you start rationalizing things and you start doing things and you don't even realize where it's coming from. So at first you're frum, and you're doing it because you're frum and you're good and adorabba, right? And you justify what you're doing, you start talking Lashon Hara and you start talking against other people and you start pushing your way in, and like, and you get into a whole cycle of behavior, and this is level 9 where you have a character flaw, and it's a little fly, zvuvei mavis, and it'll end up killing you, he says. So, and this is on a very high madrega. People are like that. They have grudges. They can't. They don't forgive someone else. They're always looking at the other person, what he has, what he. Okay. This is really, you know, this is why a person really has to set aside time for character development. So you say, how? I don't know how. So in the Shul Baruch Hashem, we finally have these Vadei Musar by this wonderful person I found. I didn't find them. I mean, Hashem found them, you know, Rabbi Dolinsky. And it just, it works. You have to work on yourself. Someone came to talk to me on Yerushalayim. Nothing to do with the shul, nothing to do with anybody. So she has a mashal, how it could ruin your life. She has a boss in America. She works from a house, and she has a boss in America that she's rather friends with the boss. And it's a very nice job. She works for 4 or 5 hours from her house, and she earns. So what's the problem? The boss comes every summer for 3 weeks to Israel, and she treats, and it's a lady, and the other one's a lady too, and she treats her like, you know, like a gopher. Get me an apartment, get me a car, get me this, get me that. And she expects her to be her slave for 3 weeks. And she says, you know, at first I did it, but then I have a family, my family's growing. I don't have to do these things, you know. So she what should she do? Should she quit? Should she say something? So first I said, you know, first of all, maybe the person needs you, like you're doing chesed, you know, maybe they're lost, they don't know Hebrew, they're coming to this country, they need you to find an apartment for them, they tak and need. So we went through those things, but no, it's more serious than that. It's more serious. She's taking advantage of us. She's like, so what should she do? So I said, I don't know. That was my first answer. I don't know. I do that to my wife the whole time. I said, you have to be introspective. I said, you have to look into yourself. There's no other eitzah. If you really don't mind doing it, but you're resentful that she asks you to do it, that's poisonous, and you have to just clean yourself of that. Just forget it. Like, rid yourself of that resentfulness. If you're taka busy and it takes you away from your children and taka, then you have bitachon and you speak to her about it and it'll be okay. But I said, I suspect, listening to you, that you're just resentful, that's all. And that's not good. That's a midah ra'ah. Why, you know, you're resentful. You're resentful. You feel she's taking advantage of you. You really can do it. So why should you be resentful? So you're helping someone out. Hashem's giving you an opportunity to do chesed with someone. So I said, it's like it's hard. I said, you're not used to this. You have to like look in a mirror, like so to speak. You know, and you have to really, where's it coming from? This is what Chavis is talking about. It could like ruin 90%, 80% of Shalom Bayis issues are character issues. The character, whether it's resentfulness or kavod or expectations, or this is what I, it's coming to me, a lack of being mavater because we're jockeying for position and who's gonna, really, that's what it is. That's what 80% of it is. 80% of problems are silly, stupid, please forgive my lashon, character flaws. So, come on, grow up. I'm not giving anyone here Muslim. It's terrible. The Chavis says, you know, the highest Madrega person, and we know that this is true. We know it from Korach, we know it from Yerovim ben Nevat, and probably we know at least three people that we know that have ruined their lives, or they've ruined their circle of influence. They ruined because they just take them down a path which is self-serving and gaifadik and kavod seeking and one-upsmanship, and it's terrible. And these psukim in Koheles are very zvuve moves, like a little fly, and then that's it. Okay.